Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday afternoon, second hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Get into an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes, as we always do to kick off the noon hour. Back into some college football conversation a little bit coming out of last Saturday, last weekend, and starting to look ahead to what's going to be a really big weekend in college football this weekend. None bigger than the game in Tuscaloosa between UGA and the Crimson Tides. We'll start getting into that. We got some audio from Kalen DeBoer and others. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40.
Dude, I can't wait. That's going to be something. Like we talked about yesterday. What a game that's going to be. You know, as far as the biggest game of the season between two premier programs and everything. And obviously we'll get into 12:20 because I had thoughts about that. Early thoughts from, you know, just getting ready for the show and everything. But, yeah, just can't wait for it. I wonder what because I always wondered – the average ticket price. Because I saw somebody talking about the average ticket price for the Super Bowl already is like $12,000. Like, how is that possible for the average tickets to be $12,000 for a damn football game? Now, I understand, and I know, because the thing about it, the NFL don't care about the patrons who pay $200 for it. They want the people that's going to pay $12,000
for
tickets. Yeah. I'm just like, how the hell is the average ticket
$12,000? And then if that's average, that means somebody's paying $30,000 for a ticket.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah,
I don't know. Makes no sense to me.
I'm looking at it right now. If you want to go to the game on Saturday in Tuscaloosa, you can get in. For as low as $258.
Okay.
Now you're gonna be up there.
Yeah.
Now that's before fees and all kinds of other nonsense they're gonna tack on. But you can get in the building right now. And again, that's the lowest for $258. Now you want a good seat. You want to sit down there like 50-yard line lower bowl. You're looking at $620 right now.
Okay. Well, then, I mean,
$120.
I don't want to spend $200 for my nosebleed, Andy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, fair
enough. So, yeah, I can't drop that $258 for no nosebleed.
No, I don't want to do that.
I'm just not going
to
go there.
No, that's a lot of money just for that.
Yeah, man.
So you get a little lower to get down low, or a little more to get down low. $700 for that to be on the Alabama sideline at the 50-yard line.
Okay.
But the visitor sideline right at the 50, about $620.
Okay.
So, right. A lot. Not that it matters. Neither one of us is driving to Tuscaloosa on Saturday to go to this football game.
I'm going to
sit right there in my living room and watch it.
But it sounds like
I got a 58-inch TV for less than $260.
Exactly. Damn sure did.
You can go get a nice TV right now at Costco.
You go to Costco and rack
You don't have to fight any traffic. You don't have to. The beer's already paid for.
Yes.
It's better situation.
I think I'm with you on that one, Doggy. I am all the way with you on that. But, yeah, we'll talk about that. But, yeah, it's going to be a real fun football game. And obviously we'll talk about the Monday night game. I thought – I was watching Jaden, right, watching him play.
Yeah.
And I went back, and the first thought of mine is how good after he was playing – was them fools at Arizona State.
Yeah. Now, that comes up every time he has a big game.
And it's crazy because, like – how y'all gonna act like that?
Yeah, for people that don't know, when he announced his transfer to LSU, like some of his teammates at Arizona State, like they went on some streaming live on something, I don't know what it was, and like cleaned out his locker.
Yeah.
They're like grabbing all his stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they were saying they didn't need him anyway because he wasn't all that good and all that kind of stuff.
But he was.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Went to LSU and won a Heisman. So it worked out pretty good for him.
Man.
That was the LSU Heisman Bowl last night, by the way, between him and Burrow.
But I laughed.
And they both played great.
They both played great. But before we get to the NFL, hold on. His pops, I love, they panned to Jaden Daniels' pops. That's my boy.
Yep.
I freaking love that.
I love when parents love that, are exactly man. The way that you'd be if your kid was the starting quarterback for the Washington football team or the Commanders. Because I'd be doing the same thing. Because he had like a Jaden shirt on,
yes,
right?
He had
a Jaden shirt on.
My boy.
He's going nuts in the stands.
I loved it too. My boy.
They were showing, I didn't know who it was, but I think they were showing Andy Dalton's family at the Carolina
was
game.
It?
I don't know who it was, but if it was, it's like, no offense, but this guy's had bigger games than this.
Right,
like,
right.
This guy won playoff games in Cincinnati.
Resurgence.
Exactly. It's a rising from the ashes story.
Resurgence.
In Carolina for the Daltons. I'm happy for him. He played good.
Resurgence.
Yeah. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour.
Andy Dalton got AP talking about business decisions.
Was it Thielen's family? I don't know.
Andy Dalton that drove a damn wedge in the Raiders. They were just they were so high, Andy, a week ago.
They beat the Ravens.
Smoke your blank and talk your blank.
Brock Bowers was amazing in the fourth quarter. Gardner Minshew got the pep talk from Max Crosby.
Smoke your blank and talk your blank.
And now Antonio Pierce is like, I don't know, maybe Aiden O'Connell might start.
1 week. 1 week. All that goes away. One week.
Man, it's a week-to-week league, right?
1 week. Wow. It goes away.
What a difference a day can make.
Unbelievable.
Sure did. All right. Let's hear from Raheem. Still talking about, because it's the first time we've gotten a chance to talk to him sort of post game on Sunday night. He was asked about that fourth down play call. There's some video of it looking like Kirk was checking out of the play call that came in. Here's Raheem talking about that fourth down call and play.
In that particular situation, it was very collaborative. You know, that was a lot of time. That was us looking at keeping him off the field, that guy. That was us thinking we can get this first down with the plays that we had designed throughout the week. Then our short yardage plan, and obviously it didn't work. But that was not a self-made decision by anybody, by any means.
Okay, so he checked to the play. It sounds like
the final play.
I like the check because of how they were lined up. The check is fine, especially because you're in a split back. First of all, you're in a split back, so there's no lead blocker to go straight.
Right.
And I like
because that's what the original play was. Yes. It was a run up the middle.
I don't like the split back with a run up the damn middle because
what's the point? You're wasting a guy.
Huh?
Yeah. What's the point even?
That's what I'm saying. You see how Kansas City loaded up?
Right.
The play was fine. The check. You just had one guy, and that's all it takes. Sometimes though, one person that didn't do their job. Tyler Algiers didn't do his job. Now I could be completely wrong. He wasn't supposed to block him. I don't think I am, but.
I mean,
I don't think
you
I am.
Would think that he would be supposed to block him.
Yeah. I don't think I am, but. Yeah, one guy. One guy missed the blocking assignment, and that play was a disaster. Because you watch it over and over again. Yeah, the left side line back. But Jake was strong enough to reach the end to give Bijan that little corner. If Tyler Algiers runs like he blocks like he runs the football. Because I bet he would have cut up in that hole if he had the football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just cut up there. You hit that guy. Bijan's going to hit his head on the goalpost. I'm convinced that he beats that backside guy because he's the only one that's free if you take care of that guy. So, yeah, I'm not mad at the check. You look at the check
made sense. Then
if that's the case, then I hate the whole play then. If you were going to run short yardage with a split back and nobody to
what would the point of even having two guys back there if you're not going to use?
Yeah, I don't like that. If that's the case,
throw off the scent or something?
If the original play was to go straight up the middle with 10 guys in the box with no lead block or anything, I hate that play.
You're just leaving Algier back there for no reason.
There's no reason for him to come in. He didn't watch.
He checked into a play and he just watched anyway.
Anyway.
So maybe that's what he thought his job was just to watch.
Yeah, but if that's the check away from that play.
What do you use? Okay, so walk me through. Kirk comes to the line. They've got the play called, but he's got to check to what they went to.
Yeah.
What does he need to see in order to be like, oh, I like it. I'm going this way.
Where you look at where the linemen are, they had center, gaps, guards, tackled. They had everything up there. So basically they were in like a nine-man front with two backers and a guy that was covering Drake, I think it was. And so, we can't run straight against that.
Yeah,
without
that makes sense. You need that extra blocker.
Yeah, we need the extra blocker.
Yeah.
And so he checked to
him. So he's just doing math.
Yeah, which was a great check if that's the case. Probably got to block the guy. Period.
Period.
Execution. Yeah, like I said, I don't know if that's right. But I don't think I'm wrong.
Seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
seems pretty reasonable. And again, you said this, and I know you didn't mean it this way. But like, if one guy makes a mistake and the whole one guy makes a mistake and the whole play gets blown up, is the whole thing.
Yes.
Like, that's the whole deal.
Yeah,
because that allows one other guy.
They got pushback. Jake and Bergeron, they got pushback, but they had enough to hold him off for Bijan to get around there. Because the Titans did a great damn job of widening the hole.
There it was. The difference. One of the cool moments from last night, I know everybody's talking about what Jaden Daniels did, and rightfully so. I know everyone's talking about what Josh Allen did, MVP front runner through 3 weeks, all that. I get it. But my favorite moment of the night last night was this one right here.
Right.
From the 41, play fake, stepping up, fire, intercepted at the 40 to the 45. It's DeMar Hamlin. Outside right to the 45, gets a block at the 42, and gets wrestled down at the Jacksonville 41. A terrible overthrow of Brian Thomas Jr., and an easy pick for DeMar Hamlin with prime field position for the Bills.
He missed it.
Flat out missed him. Because he was open.
He flat out missed him, man. And I know we were talking earlier in the show. I don't know the hell going to Jacksonville. I do understand they don't have weapons. And Evan, you know, he's his safety blanket. Evan Ingram's tight end who got hurt 2 games ago in pregame.
Yeah.
And so he's not there. They lost Ridd. They don't really have a lot around him. But, yeah, Trevor's not playing well. I don't run ETN. But I go back to Buffalo. Buffalo look real good.
They do.
And they look real good all season.
They do. They look really good all season. I know Von Miller doesn't play as much, but when he gets in he's impactful.
Dude, he
got that big sack. The game was wrapped, but still.
They're playing him perfectly right now. Von don't got to do a lot. Let Von play maybe 20 plays and let him rush the pass most of those plays because he can still do that.
And he did.
Yeah, man.
Let's hear from Trevor Lawrence after the game.
Did he say we suck again?
Players play, coaches coach, and when we step on the field, we got to make the plays. And so we have to take all the accountability, all the criticism, all the scrutiny, because we're not doing that right now, and that's our job, is to go make the plays. And I know that I'm not playing as good as I can play.
Yeah. I mean, y'all got to play. It's crazy because, you know, the expectations for Jacksonville, when you talked about it, I didn't really have a lot of expectations for Jacksonville.
They were in the playoffs last year, right?
Two years ago. So it wasn't like, oh, my God, watch this Jacksonville team.
Yeah.
But you expect more out of that guy. You know, he's a franchise quarterback. He has all the physical gifts to do what you need a guy that you want to be on the billboard outside the stadium. I think Trevor Lawrence has all those gifts. Something's off, though. I don't know what it is, but yeah, something right down there.
They got smoked 47-10.
They got the hell beat out of them.
They got destroyed.
It was 34-3 at halftime.
Which was kind of nice because then you could just watch the other game, which was actually good. Yeah. You didn't have to flip back and forth or have two TVs out or anything like that.
Real quick, I wanted to get this one in real quick again because I saw this yesterday. Christian McCaffrey going to Germany to see an Achilles specialist. It's pretty much doom time in San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Between that, I saw Hargrove. He's out for the season with a torn pec, I think. You don't know when Debo's coming back. Kittle's is banged up. I mean, this team got a whole lot of problems. And when I saw this Achilles thing, he's going to Germany.
That's a last ditch.
That's a last ditch.
Remember, that's what Kobe did. It was with his knee, but still. Probably the same thing,
dude,
right?
That's a last ditch. Like,
what is it that they have in Germany?
I don't know. I know that.
He used to live there.
Huh?
He used to live there.
They threw me out. They told me I had to leave. You know, I don't.
They had to leave before you got all the cool.
They told me I had to leave. But yeah, that right there. When you talking about sending people to Germany?
Yeah,
like
that's not great.
They are scared, right?
Yeah,
now.
Sure.
And if I'm Christian McCaffrey and I'm Christian McCaffrey's representation, I'm scared too. I might not put my client out there if you're talking about 10 because. What usually happens after that?
The next thing that happens is your Achilles snaps.
Yes.
That's the next thing that happens.
And I think that's where they are. I don't know what it is, but this is if you're going to see specialists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have specialists.
Yes.
They have specialists in the Bay Area. They got great hospitals in the Bay Area. You got to go to Germany?
You got to go over to Germany? Yep.
Yeah. They're doing some weird stuff over there.
Yeah, man.
They got an Achilles factory over there?
Did he have one picked out already?
Oh, they got one here.
That's where Aaron Rodgers went.
You get someone else's Achilles?
Yeah, no, they got all that stuff.
They throw a bungee cord in
there? Yeah, they got all that. Like, they can use cadavers and all that, right?
Really? I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, I think they do.
That's where Aaron Rodgers went. It wasn't in Germany, though.
Because usually, if I'm not mistaken, when you do the Achilles, they go up and get yours.
Sure, and pull it back down.
Pull it back down. Yeah. But this one, they got this whole new thing. I don't know.
Huh.
But that don't sound good. But I got to go to Germany to see a specialist?
If I die, they can have my Achilles.
Why not? I mean, you don't need it.
I
need mine.
But for what?
You never know, dog. You never know. It might be.
They might have a ghost football league.
But I ain't know, dog. You know when they had them thunderstorms and everything?
Yeah.
And that lightning might hit my tombstone the right way and send that jolt through like.
Oh, the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, dog. Like weird science.
Got it. I see what you're saying. So if
I pop up, cause I know how to get out of coffin.
So if Thriller happens,
yes.
You're going to need your Achilles.
Yeah, man,
it's probably hard to do all that Thriller stuff without an Achilles.
You know, I can't do all that. I need to be home.
Fair enough.
I need to be home.
You make a good point.
What's the word? I want to die with everything.
Yeah, just make me a tree.
Yeah,
just make me an oak tree. We'll come back. We'll talk about the upcoming college football Saturday. Didn't react as much to last weekend as we could. There's some realignment news as well. Pac-12's adding new teams, baby. Even teams that don't have football teams are coming in the Pac-12. All right. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ooh. Oh, well, Saints lost their center.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday afternoon. We'll get to a college football corner in just a minute.
LA.
Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo as well. We'll get back into the big story of the day, top of the 1 o'clock hour. A little bit more news, Falcons and Saints related. It looks like the Saints are going to be without their starting center as well.
Like he has a hernia.
I guess I say as well. We don't know if the Falcons will, but probably. And then a little bit of good news on McGarry. Sounds like he's day-to-day this week instead of what we feared to be a little bit longer than that.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, they say he's out 6 to 8, and so he's going to miss some time. Yeah. He's a Pro Bowl guy for them, makes all the line calls, and I think that was something that when you go back, because always, you know, Andy, like Dahlman in most centers, you know, when the quarterbacks and the coaches and everybody meets on Monday and Tuesday where all the other players are, he's usually in there because he's got to get all the line calls and everything. So could that have been something that hindered
Eric McCoy.
Yes,
right.
He's an all-pro center. And so it's so much that goes into that position. Obviously, you got to be good to snap the ball and block. And I think it's one of the hardest things because you got to snap and block. So it's a trying position. But now you're in there, and Kirk kind of said it a little bit, getting a week of practice with him. Also with a week of calls, and it's him sitting in the meetings with the quarterbacks before all those different things and getting comfortable with redirecting if he has to. But, that's a big loss because he is one of the best in the business at the center position. And they have one of the better offensive lines, underrated but really good, especially against the run, running the football. So, yeah, that's a big loss. But, yeah, we heard Caleb day-to-day. I'm not saying he's going to play Sunday or anything like that, but day-to-day is better than – weeks.
Yeah, but like what the Saints are dealing with McCoy.
Yes.
And again, after both injuries on Sunday, it sounded like you were going to be without these guys for a little while. Slightly good news on Caleb.
He's going to wear a brace, though. He's going to wear a brace.
Yeah.
He's going to wear a brace.
Sure.
Yes.
But if we find out more on that and if he'll go, we'll let you know, of course. Meant to mention this, forgot to during NFL No Huddle. The Falcons and the Chiefs set the highest rating mark for a Week 3 Sunday Night Football game ever. Now, it's a little, you know, a little caveat in there because it's Week 3.
Right.
It's not the most watched Sunday Night Football game ever, but there's been some good games in Week 3 history on Sunday Night Football.
Name one.
I don't know other ones. I knew you were going to ask me to name them. I don't know other ones.
You knew I was going to ask you that.
But I know 27 million people watch that game
on
Sunday night.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome.
That's awesome.
That's
man.
A lot of people.
Yeah, man. But
it wasn't just us, Randy.
I know, but it's funny because I was like, because I didn't hear the Week 3 part. And then when I heard it.
When you hear, the most watched Sunday Night Football game ever. Dang, why?
I'm like, really? But then I didn't hear the Week 3 part. But hey, whatever. 27 million. That's you know what I mean? It's a lot of damn people watching a football game.
A lot of people
watching a daggone football game. Good for them. Good for the Chiefs and the Falcons. I thought the NBC whatever represented the city really well.
I thought
a lot
so
of
too.
Cool videos. I said it earlier. I said it yesterday. That visual, that blimp, whatever it has, of that damn stadium up top when it opened was sick.
Yep.
Dude, it was so cool, man. But yeah. Good. 27-0. How much did the Falcons get?
Half.
Okay.
I don't know how it works. I bet it was the number one most watched thing on Sunday night
in
the city.
No doubt about that.
I'll tell you that.
Ain't nothing on Sunday night.
Yeah. And then that's good for us. That means people want to hear you talk about it on Monday morning.
I love it.
And I hope that's
we
what
work
they
together.
Do.
We work together.
I hope that's
They're
yeah,
our
we're
partners.
All hand
They're
in
our
hand.
Partners.
I bet we had 27 million people listening to us on Monday
that,
morning.
Man. Why wouldn't we? I mean, I know there's not 27 million here, but with the Odyssey app.
We got the Odyssey app.
Yeah,
we're coast to coast, baby.
Around the world.
I know we got some. I know we have people on the West Coast, Seattle, Portland.
Plenty of my people over there. They're my wife's people.
Yeah.
But they my people.
So we got California.
We got California. They listen and everything.
Up and down the coast. Yeah, we probably got people in Hawaii, I bet. I got an uncle out there.
Do you?
Yeah, Uncle Patrick.
Uncle Pat lives in.
Yeah.
That's what you should. Like, he got it all hooked up. He's been there for a while.
Yeah, he's like a manager of a resort. He works at a really fancy resort, golf course resort.
Give me his number,
okay?
Because we're going.
All right,
I said, give me his number,
Pat. I'll hook you up.
Yeah, hook me up, man.
Patrick's a good man.
But I was going to say hook you up, but I got real selfish in because you and Ashley go on vacation.
But we're probably not going to Hawaii, but we're going to New York. We're going to New York on vacation.
New York is freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think he will hook you up if you went out there?
Yeah, for sure. No, he'll hook you up. I got you. I didn't know you were going to Hawaii.
No, I'm talking about you. Take your damn wife to Hawaii.
Oh, no, I can't. It's very expensive. But someday I will.
As long as you got the hookup on the hotel.
He doesn't work for an airline.
As long as you got the hookup on the hotel, you can balance that out.
We're going. We're going to go someday. We're going to go someday, Randy. We're going to go. We're going to, we'll go to, what's the closer island? St. Simons. Same thing. Jekyll. We're going to Jekyll. Okay? We're going to Jekyll. We'll drive there. All right, let's get through a college football corner.
We got now, a challenge yesterday at damn bowling.
That would give me an opportunity. We haven't told that many backstories about Saturday. Super fun party at the house. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Wonderful gifts. Playing golf later. You got me a visor.
Yes.
UW visor.
Yes.
Never knew whether or not I could be a visor guy. I think I'm a visor guy
you
now.
You told me that you think so, so that's why I got it.
And now I am.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
But that was not the best gift that I got. The best gift of Saturday was Aunt Pam.
Yes.
Aunt Pam comes through with a bag of
oh God, yeah.
Half gallon of bourbon.
Yeah.
Two shot glasses.
Yes.
And a bottle of baby oil.
She sure did.
Yeah.
She damn sure did.
And a card that said, "I think you understand the assignment." So she had me. Hey. She had me covered.
Yeah. I was like, you laughed.
I laughed like, so hard.
I was like, what'd she get you? And then I saw the damn baby oil in the bag. I was like, this woman.
And the best part was like, no one really, they kind of got it, but no one really got it like fully. So there was a lot of people like, what's all that for? I was like, you know what it's for.
Yeah, man.
What do you think it's for?
When I saw she brought that damn baby oil, I was like, only my people. I claim her. That's mine. Love that lady.
That's my
auntie.
What a lovely time.
Yes, that's my auntie.
All right. Biggest game of the weekend coming up on Saturday is obviously between Georgia and Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Who do you want to hear from first, Kirby or Kalen?
Let me hear Kirby.
All right, let's hear Kirby first, talking about Jalen Milroe and what Georgia needs to do against him.
It's considerable jump as a just natural pocket passer. You see him make more throws now that are like rhythm throws, on-time throws, RPO throws. You can tell he's become more comfortable with those things. Still, some of his best and most exciting plays are when things break down or when he runs the ball by design. Either one is very dangerous. You can see him as a deep ball passer, the vertical passing game, the shots, the rhythm throws, the outs, the timing throws, the RPO throws. He's improved immensely at that part of his game, but he's always been good at the athletic part.
Remember what I said this 2 weeks ago? I said, don't let this dude figure out this offense.
Right. That's the thing about it is he's been a home run hitter,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Deep ball is really great. Obviously, the explosive speed, he can kill you with that.
Yes.
This is a different system that DeBoer brings there that has made quarterbacks look incredible. Like every stop he's been on, he's made quarterbacks elevate their game to a level that it hasn't been at before. And we said this at the beginning of the year. Like, Milroe has all the tools, all the stuff you can't teach. If he can get him comfortable with that intermediate stuff and really get him more efficient in what he wants to do offensively,
you're in trouble.
The sky's the limit
you're
for this guy. Like, he's going to be in New York for the Heisman ceremony and likely wins it if he can do all that stuff.
Figuring it out.
He is. But he's obviously come a long way.
Yeah, man.
That second half against USF and then obviously that game against Wisconsin, they've had a week to work now. No, I mean, this is but also the Georgia defense is by far the biggest test that he'll face for sure.
Yes, and they're getting guys back. And, you know, I wanted to get to Caleb real quick, but this guy, we know everything that God-given ability to move and everything. But I looked at it from when I watched him this year from last year, especially after the benching before the South Florida game.
Right.
The growth that this young man has made, man, Jalen Milroe is that dude. Man.
He is
that dude.
He's incredibly good.
He's that dude.
Here's the head coach of Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, talking about attacking that Georgia defense.
You're going to have a lot of physicality. You're going to have speed. So, you know, what you got to try to do is create the opportunities with your matchups, create opportunities and try to do what you can do to get a step or maybe, you know, have that defense freeze or flinch. That's offensive football. You try to do that any week, but that's what becomes a bigger test when you have a program like this that has so much continuity in what they've been doing, you know, because of their system and especially on the defensive side of the ball.
This game, and that's what I was having thoughts about, just early thoughts about this game. When I look at these two rosters, first of all, they're full of great players. I would probably give the edge defensively core unit to Georgia over Alabama. I would say the offensive line, especially since Tate Ratledge, and there's probably a push. I see the running backs, probably a push, maybe. Probably a push. Receivers, I get the edge Alabama, probably, receiver-wise. It's about quarterback. And I honestly, like that Tuesday right now at 12:30, if Carson Beck does not outplay Milroe, they can't win.
No doubt.
They can't win.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's supposed to be, and not to say that Milroe didn't come in with hype. Of course he did. Had a great year last year. Supposed to be the advantage that Georgia has every Saturday.
Yep. I need to see it. I need to see it. And I don't know what the line is or whatever like that.
Georgia's favored, which is kind of interesting because it is in Tuscaloosa. But yeah, Georgia's favored.
Okay. But I look at it from a standpoint of they're favored.
By two. Favored by two.
Okay. But I think that when you look at it from a standpoint, I think because it's in Alabama, and the last time we both saw these teams playing, Alabama was walking the dog up in Madison, and Georgia was struggling in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And so you view it from that standpoint right there. It is on the road. But I just view this is just right now on a Tuesday, and I probably change something on Friday because we're going to talk about it all week. But I think – and it's usually every matchup in a big game where quarterback plays better – Carson Beck got outplayed.
He does.
Because this is what Alabama thinks of Georgia. And when they play them, Andy, and they lose, whatever, in offense, they view them as we can put our corners and our defenders man-to-man, and they can't get open against our coverage. That's how Alabama plays Georgia. And they can't get open.
I'm also interested to see if Kirby does what he's done traditionally against Saban, where he calls such a
vanilla-ass game, relying on the defense run game.
Right. He gets so conservative even in a team that doesn't do it like that. Now, this isn't Saban anymore.
Right.
It's a different deal. Georgia's 45-2 in their last games.
And who are those two losses to?
Yep. Everybody knows who those two losses to, but it's when they had the best coach of all time coaching them. It's a different deal. There's so much in this game. I'm glad we're really kind of digging into it on Tuesday.
There's so much to go.
Because we need to spend segments on it every single day of this week because there's so much to talk about with this game. Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20 as well as he always does on Tuesdays.
What a petty ass dude.
Brandon?
I love Brandon. But let's watch it. Follow him on a Saturday when like other teams that he hates, like Florida's and Auburn and all these other SEC teams are getting the crap beat out of him.
Yeah.
He's so petty.
He is. I think he thinks that he uncovered a conspiracy theory against Georgia.
Oh, no.
I saw that on Instagram the other day. It was like, I found a conspiracy theory. They're cheating us. We'll ask him about that. That's all an hour away. But coming up next, we'll get to the back page with Bo. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Back page with Bo just a couple of minutes away. We'll get back into the big story of the day. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, offensive line injuries, sort of the story of the week leading into the Falcons and the Saints. Falcons obviously dealing with the center injury and a right tackle injury. The Saints dealing with a big-time injury to their Pro Bowl center, Eric McCoy. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. So battle of attrition happens every single year. Not in September, October, whatever. Teams get hurt, and you got to deal with it. Next man up, Randy.
Yeah, man.
That's what they say.
Usually, that is a phrase. But in the locker room,
next man usually isn't that great. But that's all right.
But that's the thing about it is that's always when you're in one of those, you're in that situation where somebody goes down, and you're like, okay, next man up. And then especially if it happens during the game bunk. And so, for instance, say the lineman goes down and the third lineman comes in and we're in the huddle with the guy. You're like, all right, dog, you got this, man. And what you're thinking in your head, like, damn. Because you've seen him. You know why. You understand why he's.
Yeah, you know why he's the next man.
Yeah. He's like, all right, dog, you got this, man. You know, you try to psych him up because you don't want to be like, damn, this dude's coming to this damn game and everything. So we
can't do this play anymore. There's like certain stuff we just can't do anymore.
Look at that damn screen pass. I told Mama I was going to catch it in the third quarter.
Yeah, which has to suck, especially for you as a pass. Because there's going to be stuff that you no longer is targeting you.
I have to help him.
And you're going to, you're going to have to do more work.
Because I got
to
help him.
They had a bunch of pass plays in for me this week.
I got to stay and help this guy. Because so and so like that. But yeah, I mean, it's so early. And so we said this last week, all the injuries. We mentioned the all the injuries of San Francisco going into this week.
Yeah.
I mean, you're without two of your three starting linemen. I mean, two of your five starting linemen. So don't know about Caleb McGarry. He's going to be braced up, no doubt about it. But this Dahlman thing, you look, the center, I mean, everything's important, but that center. That's just – and he's been playing well. This is the best he's played since he's been a Falcon, talking about Dahlman. So it's a big loss depending on how long he's going.
No doubt about it. And like we say, we'll update you as soon as we know anything, but just found out not too long ago that Eric McCoy, the groin injury that he suffered is going to require surgery. That sounds terrible. Groin surgery?
Groin surgery, because I had hernia.
Sounds awful.
I had hernia surgery. And is that the groin part? Because it's right there where the groin is. We have a sports hernia. Is that the surgery? Does it have a sports hernia, or does like the actual tendon itself have to be that, man? Because that looked like that cut out your.
I just like how you say the word.
What?
Groin. You say it different than me.
How you say it?
I say groin.
Groin.
You say growing.
Yeah, growing. Yeah, you're growing, man.
So great.
Yeah, man. But
so
man.
Much better.
When they're growing out of commission, that don't seem like you can have no fun time.
BlueChew.com, promo code Andy. BlueChew.com, promo code Andy.
You might rip something.
Yeah, BlueChew actually would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, you might
actually, rip let me see if that's in the fine print. Because there is stuff you're supposed to avoid.
Yeah, man.
If you've had any recent groin surgeries, be sure to not take
you might rip something.
The power thruster pill.
Yeah,
all right.
You might rip something.
Let's get to the back page with Bo. Every day at this time, the back page with Bo. Hello, Bo.
I know who can smell what The Rock is cooking. It's the Appalachian High School football team who Dwayne The Rock Johnson recently invited down to Soundstage, a stage here in Atlanta, or a production company stage where he's filming a movie. Invited the whole high school football team there from Appalachian. Cool. You know, they lost a coach on September 4th.
Yeah.
And invited him down there, said he is in love with their spirit and their will. Rumor has it that DJ may be showing up at their first home football game, which, if I'm not mistaken, is this Friday.
Yeah, I saw on the news that this is the first time the kids are going back to school up there and everything. And I saw a picture where they thought, the Falcons brought him down. I know the Falcons brought him to practice, but I think they brought him to the game and everything like that, which is really, really great on behalf of them and everything. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you can wrap your arm around the community, man, and then we all know we talked about that tragedy and everything that happened up there. And it's good that that The Rock and everybody did some nice things for these kids.
I saw that Sam Crenshaw had the head coach of the football team on the high school football show on Friday night.
Yes.
So. If go listen to it for sure, but yeah, man, good. I mean, good.
Good on DJ.
Anything that can be done to try to help the spirit and all that, but man, still such a fresh wound and a tragedy.
So if anybody that listens or watches baseball, you have to be living under a rock to know what the Chicago White Sox are going through. So on Sunday, they actually tied the Major League record for most losses in a season. They were off yesterday. They do play baseball today. Here's former White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen on exactly how hard it is to lose 120 games.
Even you try to do that, I don't think you can do it. With the Mets, that was a expansion team. This organization will be there for a long, long time. Only one thing about it is nothing will click for them from the beginning. Nothing clicked for the White Sox. They lose so many different ways.
I got a question. And I'll refer to both of y'all. All right. So, remember how the Orioles stunk?
Yeah.
You remember that? But they are who they are now because they stunk.
Yeah, they did it on purpose.
Yeah, and now look at them now. Can the White Sox do this?
I don't think they did it on purpose.
I think they actually thought they were going to be good.
No, there's no way you lose 100 games thought you were going to be good.
Or maybe competitive?
Well, because it wasn't that long ago. Remember Tony La Russa was their manager like 2 years ago, and they were in the playoffs.
About this iteration of this team.
I mean, they didn't expect to be like this.
You really think they came to the season and was like, we're better than this?
Way. Yeah,
we got our ace Mike Soroka on the mound.
They went all in on some brave castaways.
Yeah.
They definitely did that. But they had some guys. Like, they got some decent players on that team. Guys had bad seasons
Robert, they still haven't even gotten rid of some guys.
Yeah, he had an awful year this season.
How do you not have an awful year with that much garbage?
Everyone's had an awful year. But no, you're right. Like, the Orioles were terrible. Remember the Astros back in the early 2000s? But that was on purpose.
Yes.
The Braves kind of went through a brief moment. They
were never
this bad. But a lot of teams did it on purpose to reset, suck, and get some draft picks.
You don't think this was on purpose?
I don't think so.
Wow.
No, this is just bad ownership.
I mean, Reinsdorf been there.
This is just an owner not really caring about the product and that manifesting itself over time. Like, the White Sox, and I know the A's, shockingly, aren't even that bad. They've really fallen off sort of in the final couple months. But, like, the A's weren't terrible for the majority of this season. But when your owner just doesn't care for a long period of time, product's just going to diminish.
Awful.
So I'm not
36
sure.
36 and 120.
Yeah, man.
Awful.
And those 36, whoever lost those games. Wow.
The Braves. A few of them.
Someone were to Oakland.
The Braves.
They swept
a few of them. Come on.
This is early when they were good, when Soroka was.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, right,
when they were good.
No, that never happened. So the football community, especially, and the fantasy football community, everybody's kind of wondering, where the heck has Travis Kelce been through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season? Is he is not. Had the best head start. Now, they're going to blame it on Kelce being double-teamed every game and Pat not being able to find him.
Oh, that's not what I've heard. I've heard some different theories than that.
Well, Todd McShay may have heard the same theory that you had, or maybe he invented it.
Yeah.
Are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape, that he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet-setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world? The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it, but he's not the same guy right now.
So, Randy, you've played the same position, Travis Kelce, but during the summer when you're off, how much conditioning do you keep up with, or do these guys just travel the world and have fun?
No, that's when you hit it. That's when you hit in the summertime. Like that 3 week or whatever month before training camp, that's when you, I mean, because you're already in shape and everything like that, but that's when you get into the
hit what?
The weights in the training. Oh. Dang on.
I was going to say, because, him and Taylor.
You damn pervs, man. And I saw Ape peek up. You know what the hell I meant.
But also that, too, though, probably.
Yeah, but no, has he had a more unusual offseason than most people? Hell yeah. But I thought her world tour was over long ago.
I just, look, that's a fine opinion, I suppose. Yeah. It seems like a hot take for the sake of getting attention. Yeah. Blaming us.
I love Todd McShay.
Yeah, but does he think that, I realize he's more visible because he's dating Taylor Swift and stuff like that.
Right.
But does he think that like other NFL players aren't just having a great time in the offseason?
Yeah, because you're supposed to.
Of course you are.
But you're supposed to have fun in the offseason.
Damn right you are. You got millions of dollars.
He was able with the young lady who has all the stuff. And I mean,
just went to more concerts he probably didn't want to go to.
Exactly.
Not hers, I mean others.
But what did I tell you? I said, I'm looking at the game, and he's out of the game more than he's ever been, though. He's been in and out of the game for more than he ever has. But, yeah, I think Kelce's going to be okay. But that whole, like, I don't know if he's out of shape or not. I don't get to watch him like that. But he's out of shape with that mustache. You got to go, man.
Bowl cut, too.
You got to go. Bowl
weird
cut
look.
Mustache.
All of it? It's a very weird look. Maybe he's just old.
Maybe, and that could be it.
Because he's not young.
He's not young anymore. He's played a lot of football, a lot of physical football, being the number one guy, getting beat up all like he did. Maybe he is.
Hang on, just for real quick, because he's 34.
He's 35.
30, he'll be 35 next week. I mean, tight ends retire around that age.
There is a wall.
Yeah.
Players hit.
There's a wall.
So speaking of hitting walls, Malik Willis hit a wall when he went to Tennessee and beat his former team. So during the post-game press conference, head coach Matt LaFleur was talking about it, and an alarm sounded.
Happy for our guys and proud of their effort.
Stayed at the press conference, mind you.
Sometimes that happens.
Whatever,
here.
Keep going. Yeah. Keep firing away. They told me this city was going to burn if we came in here and won the game, so I guess it is.
Ouch. That does tend to happen here. No, but we go down to the street like we're supposed to.
It depends. Sometimes. Sometimes not.
When that fire alarm comes on?
Yeah, because if they tell us, sometimes it's a drill and they let us stay up
here. Yeah, but we've been in a situation, especially on the weekend, where when I was working the weekends, where that would happen. I ain't going.
Yeah, we're good.
Where you going? I told you. Let me see some real quick. They moved my escape plan from this window.
What used to be
remember
over
them
there?
Trees that was right there?
Yeah, well, I think.
Are you going to go out the window into the trees?
Yeah, remember them trees?
There's a deck that's a couple floors down on that building over.
Yeah, because we're like on the ninth floor.
You got a good running start. You could make
we're
that
on,
deck.
We're on the ninth floor here, and the trees went to the fourth. And I'm thinking to myself, and ultimately I'm thinking of like, you remember Rambo?
Yeah.
On First Blood, when he jumped out the helicopter and fell
through
the trees.
Yeah, but how are you going to get through there?
I mean, anything.
Throw the Yeti at it.
I don't know if that'll work.
You don't think I could spike this Yeti into that window and break it?
You don't think I can go through that glass?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I'd go through this glass. Bo, I can go through this glass, man.
This glass is pretty thick. With the intent. This is true.
I think you'd separate your shoulder, but I think you'd probably get through there.
Man, please, man. I better stop trying me, man. I got these.
Here's the thing.
I got these. I
don't want.
I'm broad in the chest now. Look at these things.
I'm saying that glass is very.
These are glass breaking shoulders.
I think it's double pain.
Is it what?
I think it's double.
Okay, so two hits, one clash, and then a second one. I'm going through.
Like a quarter inch of this glass can stop a bullet. I think this is a lot thicker than a quarter inch.
You think so?
Is Randy and Michael saying he's faster
than
a speeding
bullet? Just throw the ladder. Throw the ladder at the truck.
All I'm saying is I don't
think
ideas.
That would work either.
I don't want anybody
to
try.
These windows don't shatter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the escape plan is. Let's just hope we don't have to
do it.
You know what I mean?
More importantly.
I'll just use the stairs. They're right over there.
More importantly.
But don't use the stairs unless it is an emergency. You will get locked
will get
in the stairwell.
Lost. You will get lost
you
in
will get
stairwells
locked
taken
in the
from
stairwell.
A brother who missed the start of a show once because I don't know where I I went one way.
Well, because all the doors are locked
and ended
from
in the
outside.
Stairwell on 16th Street.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad, like, pretty bad setup, actually. Yes. You get in there, you could be in there for weeks.
Well, it's exit only, so they only want you to push through.
We'll be right back with the big story of the day. Thanks for being with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.